Go ahead, open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Title of the message is Giving It Your All. Giving It Your All. And I wanted to really give us a challenge from God's Word tonight about this idea of what really Memorial Day is about. You know, there's a saying about the generation that fought World War II, right? Anybody know what that is? They're called the what? Yeah, some of you know. The greatest generation, because of everything that they gave for that just unbelievable event in history. But really, in my personal opinion, I think every generation that fought and died for our country is the greatest generation. You know, when you take all the major engagements that this country fought in, from the Revolutionary War all the way to current with Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, this isn't including all the minor little events, because there was a lot of different types of engagements. These are the major wars, major battles, major conflicts. There's an estimated 1,293,743 Americans that gave their lives. It's roughly 1.3 million Americans. That's basically take all the population from the southern end of Edgewater all the way up to the main proper part of Jacksonville and triangulate all the way on over to DeLand. Take everybody in that area and wipe them out. That's all the people that gave their lives for our country. It's unbelievable. And like I said, it's even more than that. It's even more than that when you take into account all of the minor and the small skirmishes throughout. That's a lot of people that gave their life for our freedom. And listen, these are the men and women that gave the ultimate sacrifice of their lives so that we can come here tonight and we can openly worship God and teach His Word and come together in fellowship, this great freedom that we have. And you know, like I said before, that's what Memorial Day is really all about. But listen, I want us tonight to actually think about a whole nother set of heroes that I think a lot of times get missed on Memorial Day. And they fought for freedom as well, but a different kind of freedom. And this is freedom from the bondage of sin. It's the many brothers and sisters of Christ that we have through the centuries that paid the ultimate price so the good news of Jesus Christ could go out, and so that lives could be changed, and so that people, all people, could have that wonderful blessing and that great hope of eternity in heaven with their Lord and Savior. Folks, countless thousands and millions of people have given their life in the cause for Christ. And you know, we look in the Bible and we look at some of these Bible greats and we think about, wow, they did amazing things for the Lord. And they faced such persecution and hardship, and most of them gave their life. And we call them Bible greats. We call them the greatest generation in Scripture. My challenge for us tonight is that now, especially more than ever, I think we need to become the greatest generation unto Christ today. So tonight, we're going to take a look at one of these figures in the Bible, these Bible greats that have such a great testimony in their life, because he did what a lot of our men and women in the service did in battle, is that they went above and beyond, even to the point of possibly giving his life. And he did this for Christ. We're going to look at the life here, this little snippet from the life of Epaphroditus, and see how we can give our all in service unto Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 25 through 30. Paul writes here, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards me." So what can we learn here from the life of Epaphroditus on how we can give our all in service unto Christ? Well, the first way is by seeking to serve others. We need to be seeking to go out there and looking to the needs of other people. Look at verses 25 and 26. Paul writes again, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick." Listen, when Paul wrote this letter here, he wasn't sitting in some, you know, wonderful condo right there in Rome. Okay, he was locked up. He was in prison. Okay, he didn't have his freedom, right? He didn't have his comforts from home. And here comes Epaphroditus. He comes on into the scene. He hears that Paul is in a bit of trouble. What's he doing? He's going right there. He says, "Listen, I'm going to go to Paul and I'm going to minister to his needs." That's what Paul says. He says he ministered to my wants. This is really cool. That phrase there that says he that ministered means a public servant or a benefactor. It carries the idea of someone that is a military laborer. When I saw that definition there, I thought about all the foxholes I had to dig. All those wonderful holes. There's nothing like going out and you got to set up your defensive position and you're digging this hole. And of course, there's always one of your sergeants there. He's got the exact dimensions. Oh, no. You got to have an extra inch right there. And then you dig that hole. It's all perfect and down. Now you're just working and sweating and all that. Why? Because this is your home, right? And then once you get that thing dug, he's like, "Oh, yeah, guess what? Everybody pack on up. We're moving to the next position." And you know what you do when you get to the next position? You dig another hole. And then you pack up and move, and then you dig another hole. You're a laborer. But you know how you do it? Because you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it because you know that hole right there, you're going to have a buddy with you. And if that hole is dug right, it's going to probably save his life. And listen, that's what Epaphroditus was doing here with Paul. Listen, he was being that minister, that military laborer. I mean, look here in verse 25. Look what Paul calls Epaphroditus. Look at the titles that he gives him. He says, "My brother, my companion in labor, my fellow soldier. Man, Epaphroditus was all about giving his all in service to others. He had a true servant's heart. And listen, in the midst of all this opposition and all these trials and all this different stuff that came into his life, Epaphroditus kept on serving. Why? Because Paul's needs needed to be met. He wanted to serve others. He gave his all. Listen, God doesn't want us to just focus on ourselves. He wants us to focus on others. Listen, our salvation, the whole point of trusting in Christ isn't so that we can go, whew, I don't have to worry about burning in hell now. I mean, that's great. That's a good, awesome benefit. But now it's so that you can go out, what, and serve others. Why? So that other person can go, yes, I'm forgiven. I'm free from that bondage of sin. I mean, one of my favorite passages, those of you on Freedom Found that come out on Monday nights are probably tired of hearing this. But it's an awesome passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. God says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. But it doesn't stop there. See, that's awesome. God's comfort's great. Love it. It's fantastic. It's what sees you through each and every day. But the passage doesn't stop there. See, God comforts you in all your tribulation. Paul goes on to say that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. How? By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. See, the whole point of God comforting us isn't so that we can, woo, sit back now and go, wow, things are a lot happier now. No, so that we can go, you know what? I'm comforted. I don't need that extra pat on the back now. Now I can go out and I can comfort somebody else. Who's out there hurting? Who's out there struggling? Who's out there facing persecution? Who can I come alongside and help lift up from that pit of despair? You see, that's the whole idea when you look at all those that gave their life fighting in the wars throughout the ages. I don't know if you've ever read some of the Medal of Honor citations. You should go out there and do it. They're unbelievable, time after time after time. People who face just unbelievable, just opposition. Many of them gave their lives for someone else. It just is unbelievable to me, the stories over and over and over and over again of soldiers and Marines and sailors and airmen who took a grenade and placed it on their own chest and smothered it and took the full brunt of the blast so that their buddies could survive. Let me tell you what, that's giving it all. And you know what? People's eternal souls are on the line. And sometimes I think when the world throws the grenades, we hand it to our buddy next to us instead of taking it. And I think we need to go out there and be willing to give the ultimate service. Epaphroditus did. He was willing to give his life so that his brother in Christ, his needs could be met. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Listen, you that's grounded in God's word, you that's growing, you that understands these godly principles, help them. Help them. Is it going to be convenient? No. Is it going to be always comfortable? No. Are you going to want to, you know, sometimes pull your hair out? Yes. But it's all worth it. Let me tell you what, I'll go bald pulling my hair out if it means somebody else is growing in Christ. Now, I'm glad I haven't gone bald yet, but you know what? Be willing to give the ultimate sacrifice. I don't know what you do if you don't have hair. I guess you got to pull someone else's hair, right? I don't know. But listen, the idea he says there is, listen, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are grounded, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. He does say, listen, considering yourself a little bit, you don't want to fall into there, you know. If a grenade falls, land on it, but don't like bring somebody along with you, you know. Don't get caught up in their trap. But he says, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. You got to have a heart for others. Listen, the Christian life is not a solitary life. If you think it is, I'm telling you, you're wrong. We're not meant to be islands unto ourselves. We're to take everything that we learn and find other people to encourage, other people to teach, other people to lift up, to edify. Listen, all these men and women that gave their lives in war didn't give it so they could get their names in the history books. And I'm pretty sure Epaphroditus wasn't there helping Paul, going, you know what? I think I'm going to be in the Bible one day. Woo, I better do all this stuff for Paul. That wasn't even a thought. Wasn't even a thought. A need needed to be met, and he stepped in the gap. The question is, will you live your life no different unto Christ? Imagine the lives that you could impact. I mean, talking with a friend once, we thought about it, if he and I got in discipleship together and really encouraged each other and then encouraged each other to go out and find someone else to encourage, that'd be now four of us, right? And if we really grew them up and then the four of us encouraged each other to go out and reach more people, now there's eight. And so on and so forth. It would just expand exponentially. We would be able to reach so many people. But all it would take was just one of us to stop doing that, to focus more on ourselves instead of others, and all of a sudden the numbers would drop. Let me tell you what, I see statistics all the time where, I mean, they just released a new one, where people in the United States, it was 76% that said that they were Christians, now it's down to 70. People that said they're atheists and agnostics used to be 16% of the country, now it's up to 24%. And our population is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. There's more people that need to hear the gospel. We got to think beyond our own concerns, our own struggles. We need to be focused on others. So if you desire to give your all unto Christ, it's going to take serving others. But then it's also, how do we do that? By remaining diligent when troubles come. By remaining diligent when troubles come. Look at verse 27, Philippians 2, 27. Paul says, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Verse 30, "Because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me." Listen, the thing to always remember about giving your life unto Christ in service is that it's not all happy times, okay? Don't get this idea that, you know what? Oh, I'm growing. This is exciting stuff. God's doing amazing things in my life. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to serve him and everything is just going to be woo. It's not all happy times. Listen, Epaphroditus here wasn't having happy times. You know? I don't know how sick some of you have been, but I know I've been sick at times and just miserable. You can ask Shauna. Right? That's the whole sign. If I'm sitting there wearing my hoodie and I got my blanket, I got this really cool blanket. It's huge. My mom knits them. She does an awesome job. She can do it in her sleep. It's all camouflage colors. So that way, if I'm sick and laying down, I can be tactical. But yeah, man, I've been laid up sometimes pretty bad. There was a two-year period I was getting hit with some serious migraines that laid me out. I mean, I remember one time I stood right in front of Pastor Dan's office. There was just sweat pouring down. It was right before a new member presentation. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. He was like, no, I think you need to go home. Okay. It bad. And that was Epaphroditus. He was close to death. But you know what? He stayed the course. He stayed the course. When he got sick, Epaphroditus didn't quit. The Bible states that he was not regarding his life. That phrase, not regarding, means to disregard. It means to ignore or treat as unimportant. It's not that he was neglecting his health. He saw the greater priority. He saw that at that point in time, He can get his health sometime later, and if not, he's going to be with the Lord. But there was a greater need that needed to be met. He didn't quit. He didn't go, "Paul, hey, I'm here to serve you, but oh man, it's really bad. I'm just going to kind of go over here and maybe I'll go back home." No, he said, "You know, I'm going to stay. I can do something." He didn't quit. And I think too many times we allow our simple ailments to keep us from serving. We think injuries or setbacks mean we can't serve anymore. And listen, folks, I know that I'm not talking about, there's some serious stuff out there. I'm not saying, you know, if you're in the hospital, you know, you can't serve. But you know what? I've been blessed so many times on hospital visits. It's unbelievable meeting people, and they're hooked up to tubes and machines, praising God. And there they are serving the Lord. How? By encouraging my heart. And probably all the nurses. Listen, they don't quit. And that's the idea. There's a bigger purpose. There's a bigger focus. Think about this. Think about the 1.3 million people that gave their life in war. Listen, everybody knows what the outcome is when they go into the military. They know that there's a possibility that they may not be coming home. I mean, if they don't know that, they need to do more research. You know, I did have one guy once that was in my unit when I was in Camp Lejeune back in the early 90s. There was a situation that was rising up in the African country of Rwanda, and there was buzz going around that my battalion was tagged to support an infantry unit that was going to be going over there to help. So we were already starting to gear up and get ready. And I remember one of the guys in our unit, he started all fretting. He was all nervous and everything like that. I'm like, "What's your problem?" He's like, "Man, I didn't sign up for this." I'm like, "What are you talking about? You're in the Marine Corps. What'd you sign up for?" "I signed up for college. For college money." "Wait a minute. First of all, why'd you join the Marine Corps for college? You should have joined the Air Force. You get a lot more out of that." "And I mean, if you didn't want to fight on the ground, what are you doing in the Marine Corps?" It's kind of like guys who joined the Marine Corps didn't know how to swim. It's like, "What? I didn't know I was going to have to swim. It's the Marine Corps. That means water. Right?" Listen, those 1.3 million people knew what the price ultimately was going to be. But that didn't stop them from signing up and serving their country. It didn't stop me. I know my parents didn't like it at first, especially since I surprised them. I just said, "Hey, Mom, what are you and Dad doing on Thursday night?" "I don't know. I don't think anything." "Good, because the Marine Corps recruiter is going to come by and talk to y'all." It got pretty silent in that house. I had a bad habit of doing that to my mom. But listen, I knew exactly what I was signing up for. I knew what the price could be. And listen, you know, I think sometimes we're quick to sacrifice for worldly things, for the things that we want. But how much more should we be quick to sacrifice in our Christian walk? You know, we have this wonderful and amazing freedom here in this country. But there's countries out there that don't have the freedom we have to worship Christ. And we're not guaranteed that freedom here in this country. Things could change. Are you willing to stay diligent, no matter how much the pressure may be? Romans 14:8 says, "For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we're the Lord's." I mean, think about this. People gave their life in combat, many of them with no hope. But we've got eternal hope. We've got the hope that absent from the body is present with the Lord. How much are we willing to give in service to the Lord? Are we willing to remain diligent no matter what kind of troubles come our way. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 here, just flip over one little chapter. You may not even flip over in yours, but flip over to chapter 1. Look at verse 21. Simple little verse, but it says so much. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain." See, Paul knew, he knew the end. He knew the end goal. He knew the hope. He knew the prize. He knew that whatever he faced down here, he could stay diligent. I mean, think about it. Paul gets stoned. He gets pulverized. I mean, I don't know about some of you all, but I remember when I was a kid, we used to have the dirt clod fights. Anybody have dirt clod fights? Right? You go out, you find the little stuck things of dirt, and all the neighborhood kids, we wing them, right? Man, they hit, pow! You're like, ah! And every so often, you get a handful of them that still had a little rock in it, right? And there was always some kid that had big old bruise and bumps and all sorts of stuff. And it didn't stop us. We returned to it the next day. Yeah, listen, just those little dirt clod fights. You come back with scratches and all that. Paul gets beaten with rocks. He's bloody. He's battered. He's dead. He gets up, walks right back in. Right back into where they just pounded him with rocks. Wow, would we have that same type of diligence in our service to the Lord? I don't know. It'd be tough. Getting hit with one rock, I don't know if I'd go back, you know? That'd be tough. But that's the challenge. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And for a believer in Christ, to die is gain. It's not loss. It's gain. I talked about those Medal of Honor citations, and they're filled with people over and over and over who face machine gun fire, grenades, outnumbered, just unbelievable odds. Yet they continued in the face of opposition. Some of them sometimes being hit 3, 4, 5, 6 times with bullets, still charging a machine gun position to take it out because it was tearing up their friends. That's staying diligent in the face of opposition. Some of them, like I said, don't have that eternal hope. But we do. Don't let troubles keep you from giving it your all unto Christ. Stay diligent. Give it your all. And the third way is, how are you going to give it all unto Christ? Well, you do that by honoring those that diligently serve. By honoring those that diligently serve. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 29. Look what Paul says here about Epaphroditus to the Philippians. He says, "Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputations." Think one of the things we should never do is forget about everyone that gave their life in service to others. Listen, don't make Memorial Day just a day about the beach and backyard barbecue. Take a time. You got kids. Set your kids aside. And just focus, even a little bit of time, on Monday when you're gathering together or going to the beach or whatever it is you're going to do. Take some time to reflect on all the people that gave their life. Remember that every single one of these 1.3 million people had wives, had fathers, had mothers, had children. There's people out there dealing with loss. And we need to honor all our veterans on Memorial Day. Don't let it just be another good day to spend off of work. Let it be for that specific purpose. And I think we should also take Memorial Day as a day to remember all of our brothers and sisters in Christ that have given their lives for the gospel. I was out at a church planting conference not too long ago, and they shared a statistic with us. Over the last 20 years, think about this. Over the last 20 years around the world, Over 300,000 Christians have been martyred for their faith in Christ. 300,000 around the world. That's just in the last 20 years. It's probably up in the millions if you go all the way back to the time of Paul. And I think sometimes as the body of Christ, we forget about them. They're kind of out of sight, out of mind. Not to mention all of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe who are still in the midst right here facing persecution. I think we should take Memorial Day as well and use that as a time to remember all them that gave the ultimate service unto Christ. Verse 29, Paul tells the Philippians to receive Epaphroditus with all gladness and then to also hold such in reputation. That word receive, he says receive Epaphroditus. It means to admit in hospitality and companionship. It's to see that person as a brother. Take him in. Show hospitality to him. But then he talks about hold such in reputation, which means valued. He's a servant. Not that Epaphroditus was looking for it, but Paul says that we need to value them. We need to honor them. We need to remember the sacrifice that they made in Christ. You know, sometimes instead of honoring those that give their life and give their all in service to Christ, we kind of get focused inward, don't we? We have a tendency to, you know, as that person is being mentioned up on the platform here for something that they did, we kind of sit in the back going, you know what, I did stuff too, you know. I worked and walked through Bethlehem. Why didn't I get honored? You know, God says, don't do that. You know, we're supposed to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. He says, here, hold them in honor. Man, if somebody is up there receiving some praise for some great service that they did, you should be praising the Lord. Amen, that somebody was out there and reaching people with the gospel. They were filling in a gap that was there. I couldn't do it, but they did. Amen. That's the idea, honoring those that give it all. You know, honoring. And what's amazing, when you talk to people that give that ultimate, whether it's in war or in service to the Lord, it's amazing. They're not looking for praise. It's amazing the humility and the humbleness. It's just enough for them to be able to do that. You know, I was talking to a guy that came and visited my life group this morning, and it was a great reminder to me because he said that, you know what? When he goes to bed at night, when he goes throughout the day, he's happy. He has that happiness. And he said, you know how I have that happiness? It's because I know what the Lord has done in my life. And I said, you know what? Man, that is so true. I think sometimes we forget where God brought us. And that should just fill our heart with so much joy that we should just want to go out of our way to just do what we can to help those and to honor those that just serve just diligently, faithfully, day in and day out. Listen, don't focus on what honor you deserve. Focus on how you can honor someone else, giving it their all. I mean, Paul says, look to the needs of others. And you know, sometimes I think that we can get this view that, you know what? If I just take all my time and I'm looking at everybody else, what time is there going to be for me? I'm not going to be able to do anything. I'm not going to be able to get anything. I'm just, you know, and we can kind of get pouty, you know, the little pouty. But the thing that we got to realize, I mean, I think about it. If I took all my time trying to meet your all's needs, right? And you all were doing whatever you could to meet my needs. There's a lot of people out there. I don't think I have to worry about too much. I mean, not to mention my wife looking to my needs too. She does awesome stuff. She brings me my blanket when I'm sick. Because the thing's like 20 miles long and she doesn't like it otherwise. I got to be sick in order to get it. Well, I'm just kidding. But listen, the whole idea is don't get caught up on what honor you deserve. It's not about us. Because you're going to miss those great opportunities where Christ can be glorified. Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. In honor preferring one another. Not myself, I'm going to prefer you, and you me, and so on and so forth. Look over at verse 3, Philippians 2, verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem what? Other better than themselves. Always remember that the Christian life isn't about what honor we get, but what honor Jesus Christ gets. When we seek to honor those that give it their all in Christ with a humble attitude, it ultimately gives God all the glory. And that's the goal, for God to get all of the attention, for Him to just be magnified. Listen, time is short. None of us know how long we have. None of us know what day we're going to go and be with the Lord. And there's so much more work to be done. There's so many more people that need to be reached with the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we're focused on ourselves, that isn't going to happen. If we're quitting when struggles come, it isn't going to happen. We need to be like Epaphroditus here, who gave it his all. Time and time again, he was nigh unto death in service. Listen, don't allow distractions of this world to keep you from giving everything you got unto Christ. Seek to serve others. Remain diligent when troubles come, and honor those that serve diligently. Take tomorrow, Memorial Day, to remember all those that gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. But then also remember all the brothers and sisters in Christ that gave the ultimate sacrifice for God's glory.